You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, rugby fans, and welcome to episode 165 of the DNVR Rugby Podcast. My name is Colton Strickler. As always, I'm your host. I've got a good show for everybody today. We're going to start things off by jumping into the breakdown, which is brought to you by O'Neill's. O'Neill's is the official sportswear supplier to the biggest teams in world rugby, Infinity Park, and the American Raptors. Shop apparel now at O'Neill's.com. That's O-N-E-I-L-L-S.com. So we're going to start talking about the American Raptors. I think that's the only thing we're going to be talking about in the breakdown. And we're waiting on some big news to drop. You already are probably familiar with it if you've been paying attention. But there's some pretty big news coming with the American Raptors. And it should be any day now, based on what I've heard. I've heard it's supposed to have happened on Thanksgiving. And here we are almost to Christmas time. We're still waiting, but it is some pretty big news. So once that happens, we'll have a lot of stuff around that. We're just kind of waiting on that, which has kind of been the hiccups with the podcast as well. This has been kind of what the off season has been building up to, and we're just not there yet. So once it comes out, we'll have plenty to talk about, plenty of good content to come out around it. We're just waiting. We're playing the waiting game. Got to be patient, and I'm putting my patience to the test. But there's some other American Raptor news we can talk about. Yesterday, on Wednesday, Seattle Seawolves announced their preseason schedule, and they will open up their preseason with a match against the American Raptors on Sunday, February 5th at Starfire Stadium in Seattle, which is exciting because I've wondered out loud on this podcast. I've talked to a bunch of people about it. When the American Raptors would play a legit MLR team, and this is it. This will mark the first time that the Raptors square off against an actual MLR team. They've played a couple MLR academies. They've played a couple of teams. Gentlemen of Aspen is one that comes to mind that's pretty much an MLR team. It's outfitted with MLR players. But this will be the first true MLR team that the American Raptors will get to test their mettle against, and I'm excited to see it. Hopefully there will be some way to watch this if I don't get to make the trip up there and watch it. But this is it's a big deal. It's the first time ever that this will happen, and I'm excited for it. And it's only fitting that it is Seattle. Mark Bullock, the director of rugby at the American Raptors, has some strong ties to the Seattle rugby community, so it only makes sense that that's the first match. I kind of thought it'd be Utah or somebody just for proximity. But this is the first time, and I will say this. I don't think I'm allowed to say who yet, but I know that one other MLR team has the Raptors on their preseason schedule as well. And I would imagine with the Seawolves putting this one out that they'll be, you know, the other team that I'm thinking of will put out their schedule as well because it's coming up quick. That's going to take place in February. I know the second MLR preseason match that the Raptors on the schedule for takes place after the Seawolves one that they announced. And that's all I think I can say. But there is another team that has them on their schedule, which will be, again, exciting. Good practice and a good test to see where they're at. Ahead of this other big news that we've been waiting to drop as well. I think that does it for the breakdown, honestly. I know super short, but again, it's the off season. There's not a whole lot going on, especially around the Raptors. We're just kind of waiting for stuff to happen. So that'll do it for the breakdown. I think USA Rugby played in Dubai last week, but they're off for the holidays. We got a couple of rugby competitions we'll talk about right now coming up and all the rugby you can watch this weekend. And that's brought to you by Wintergreen. Wintergreen loves rugby and wants to support USA Rugby's mission of uniting an inclusive, passionate rugby community to grow the sport of rugby in America. Wintergreen gels, cream sprays, and soaks are made with wintergreen oils and other therapeutic natural oils to help to soothe and support sore muscles and joints to keep you at your best. Visit wintergreensport.com to purchase the products you need to help you prepare to win. So, starting off the All Rugby Watch this weekend, we got the EPCR Challenge Cup on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You can catch that on Flow Rugby. We've got the European Rugby Champions Cup also happening this weekend, all weekend long, Friday, Saturday, Sunday again. Catch that on Flow Rugby also. It sounds like a broken record here. Then they got the Rugby Europe Super Cup, the Grand Final Black Lion versus Tel Aviv Heat. Watch on flowrugby.com. And then the Allianz Premier 15s, of course, last but certainly not least, on Saturday and Sunday. You can catch that on England Rugby's website, YouTube page, and social media channels. They are broadcasting two matches a year still for free, and they're pushing it through their channels, so make sure you track those down if you're interested. I think that does it for all the rugby you can watch this weekend as well. If I'm missing something, I apologize. But that's the four competitions I think we've got rolling right now as we get close to Christmas. Let's jump into the interview portion of the show. This interview with Glendale Youth Rugby Coordinator Andy Hammond is brought to you by Guard Lab. Join the mouthguard revolution with American-made mouthguards that perform, protect, and recover. For more information, visit guardlab.com. So, great chat with Andy yesterday. Andy took over Glendale Youth Rugby as the coordinator. She's running the program from Jamie Burke, friend of the program. Had her on, I think, during COVID times in 2020. We had Jamie on talk about her rugby career and what she was doing with the program. And Jamie has moved on to a more full-time coaching role with the USA Women's Eagles, which I know is what she ultimately wants to do. So that's awesome news for Jamie. So she was with them in New Zealand at the World Cup. Her time has been very tied up with the Women's Eagles. So Andy has stepped in. She has taken over for Jamie. I think that switch happened in May of 2022. So she's been on the job for about 7 months. Has had a chance to really get her feet wet and get settled in and drive some of the goals and ambitions that she has into this program. And she's been doing a good job. So I wanted to get Andy on to come talk about some of the changes that she's made and just get, you know, help people get to know her a little bit. So I really enjoyed talking to Andy, and I hope you enjoy listening to my conversation with Glendale Youth Rugby Coordinator Andy Hammond. All right, pleased to be joined by Glendale Youth Rugby Coordinator Andy Hammond. Andy, how are you doing this morning?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for joining me. Looking forward to chatting to you about a bunch of this stuff. I had Jamie on, I think, in 2020, so you've obviously been in this role now for a little bit, and I'm happy to have you on. So, Andy, the first question we ask everybody that comes on the show is, can you just tell us a little bit about where you're from?
Yeah, I'm from Los Alamos, New Mexico. I grew up there my whole life. My parents are still there. I went to school in Albuquerque, New Mexico. My sister's still there. So, yeah, big fan of New Mexico. That's nice. My home. Yeah.
How did you get into rugby?
My sister, so I have an older sister. She actually went to practice in high school. And my mom dropped us off and she made me get out of the car. I was a very unathletic child, and sports just made me nervous. Anything physical activity made me nervous, and I didn't want to do it. But I was just hanging out at the rugby practice, and one of the players came over and was just super friendly, really nice, and she convinced me to try out a practice, and I've been doing it ever since because the players were just really great, really
very
welcoming.
Nice. How old were you when that happened?
I believe I was... that's a great question. I want to say 14.
Uh-huh. So freshman in high school then?
Yeah, freshman in high school.
And I know you said that sports kind of made you nervous. Did you play any other sports? Like, how did you kind of figure that out about yourself?
I didn't really play any other sports. I have a really great dad who made me try quite a few things. Mm-hmm. He made me try soccer, swimming. I did do ballet for like a year when I was very young. But I really didn't play any other sports before rugby. And I didn't feel like I fit into any other sports before rugby.
Very nice. So then you go to this practice, this nice person approaches you, pulls you in. When did you catch the rugby bug? Like, when did you realize that rugby was fun?
It actually, Probably. I mean, it was in high school, but it wasn't truly until I played in college at University of New Mexico. I wasn't going to play after high school. I think for me, it was still very much a community. You know, I stayed for the people. I stayed because I felt welcome, but I never felt like I could be good at rugby or it was something that I should stick with. And again, my sister came to the rescue and she had her teammates at University of New Mexico convince me to come play for them. So very grateful.
Very nice. I like asking people that, especially people that have been around rugby for a while, because the answer is always different. So I like that. When did you decide that coaching was something that you wanted to do?
That was at the end of my time at university. I actually wrote a senior paper on youth rugby. New Mexico doesn't have a very, or it didn't at the time, have a very strong under 14 rugby scene. So for my kind of senior project, I pulled together a rookie rugby program, and the coaches were my teammates from University of New Mexico. And we just held a little clinic. I don't think there could have been more than 20 kids, but it was amazing. And I really loved it. And I was like, wow, I want to do this. And so actually when I moved to Denver, one of the first things I did in those first 2 weeks was I came in, introduced myself to Jamie Burke.
Yeah.
And I told her I wanted to coach.
Very nice. Yeah. When did you move to Denver for rugby? Is that why you came up here?
I did, yes. Yeah. I had been at a sevens training camp in Little Rock, Arkansas, American Rugby Pro Training Center. Very cool program. And I met a teammate there who played in Denver, and she said it was a really awesome rugby scene out here, both for playing and for youth coaching. So, yeah, I made the move.
Yeah. Was that an easy decision? Was that tough? I know you've already talked about how you are very fond of New Mexico, so that had to be kind of hard, I think, right?
It was. I think I love New Mexico, and that's always, you know, that's where my family is. That's home. And it was tough to leave that rugby community, because it feels like I need, you know, when you're there, you need to stay and grow that community. And I still feel that way, and that'll always be my family as well. But it just felt like a little too small, and a little too small for my, you know, a little bigger dreams.
Yeah. Spread your wings.
Yeah.
Get it.
Yeah. But I mean, I did choose Denver partially because it's very close. You know, my family is still close, and I get to see them pretty often.
So. Yeah. How far of a drive is that?
6.5 hours.
I've been to Albuquerque twice. I played like a relatively large sevens tournament, right?
Yeah.
In May.
Yeah.
I played in that one time. That was a good time. I rolled my ankle pretty bad. So. Yeah. Very nice. And then I know you already talked, so you come up here, you introduce yourself to Jamie Burke, who was the former Glendale Youth Rugby Coordinator. But how did you kind of wind up in this role? This is obviously what you wanted to do, and you put yourself in the right place to do it. I'm just kind of curious if you could take us through the timeline of that.
Let's see. I was coaching with Jamie Burke as the youth program coordinator, and I was coaching in every youth program we had. We have a program kind of for every season of the year. And then I believe Jamie asked if I wanted to be more involved with doing school in school programs, so visiting different Denver public schools and coaching in PE classes. And that was really fun. I kind of fell in love with that. And so Jamie kind of let me take that over a little bit more. And I was coordinating those programs and going in with some of our coaches and doing the PE classes. And at some point, Jamie knew that she was going to go coach the women's national team for the USA World Cup. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the World Cup.
Yeah.
And I think she just asked me if it was something I'd be interested in and kind of taking over her role. And honestly, this is a dream job for me.
Yeah.
I hate office jobs,
right.
But this is kind of the perfect mix of interacting with people, You know, being at the desk, but also being out on the field with players and families and all that. So it's pretty amazing.
That's awesome. And then I guess I should have asked, what did you major in college? Is this kind of like what you centered your studies around or no?
Not quite. So I double majored in psychology and gender studies.
Okay.
It kind of, for me, this job ties in with those things. I think gender studies is a bit of a deceptive name sometimes for that field, but it's kind of, I mean, it's a study of power dynamics and how people with different identities fit into their environments. And for me, that fits in with youth rugby because I think any team sport, but especially rugby, just really impacts the way that you carry yourself and interact with your environment.
Right. Perfect. And then you've been in this role since May, I think, right? May of 2021, is that correct?
May of this year. Yeah, May 2022.
I'm already getting ahead of myself. The time is all jumbled up in my head. So it's been about 7 months, so you've had the chance to really settle in. What's kind of been like your favorite part or the best part of the job so far?
So there's two parts to that question. The first kind of joy I found in this role was interacting with the coaches in the program. We have some really awesome youth coaches in Glendale Youth Rugby that have been in this program for a while and in other programs. And it's been really awesome to just kind of float around as the program director and see their style of coaching and talk with them and just see get new ideas about youth coaching. And then the second part of my answer to that is the families in this program. I've always been pretty in love with the kids, especially I coached the under eights for quite a while, and they're just awesome. Kids that age tend to really, like, they really believe in themselves and their abilities, and it's great to be around that. And the parents have really been amazing since I took over this role. So
that's awesome. And then I know, like with anything, right, you go into something with a set of expectations. But there's got to be like some things that maybe have surprised you or something that you didn't know. Like, has there been something that, like, the biggest surprise of your new role?
I think.
And it's okay. Yeah. Sorry. I know this is kind of a curveball, but just something that popped up.
Surprise of the new role.
Or like, what's like the biggest thing you've learned, maybe, is what I'm trying to ask a little bit better.
I feel like that probably goes along with the first part of my last answer, is learning to be more of a kind of a facilitator for my coaches than coaching myself.
Yeah.
And it, in a way, it's kind of still like coaching, but it's a different, I did have a pretty huge learning experience in the fall of learning to deal with different personalities with my coaches, with parents.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be an exciting part of the job, but definitely a little stressful at times because, you know, there's it's a wide range of personalities.
Yeah, everybody's different, and everyone will always be different, and how you handled a certain situation maybe once is not necessarily the recipe to handling it again, right? That makes sense. And that seems to be a common theme among youth sports, but it's important to, you know how to manage all that. What I guess, so we're moving into 2023. I already got confused on the podcast about what year it was. And I'm sure you've got a bunch of things planned already and you have some timelines for things. So can you tell us a little bit about what you kind of have planned for the program moving into the new year?
Yeah, definitely. My main goal is a little bit boring.
Tell us. I'm interested. I like to hear people's like goals and plans and stuff like that.
Anything. Yeah. So my main goal is kind of just to have things run quite smoothly. I've run a few of our programs in this role, but I haven't done like the spring tri-league and like our bigger spring programs quite alone. You know, like Jamie Burke was the head program director at that time. So I want things to run smoothly. I want things to be great for our athletes, our coaches, our parents. And then really my biggest dreams for the program have to do with community building. That's one of the most important things to me about rugby. And I think it's really great. One of the unique things about Glendale Youth Rugby is where we're at. So we're at Infinity Park and we're close to a few really awesome rugby programs. So the American Raptors, obviously, are based here. And I think it's really great for the kids to see role models in these athletes and their coaches and realize that they've got that future. And quite a few of our coaches also play high-level rugby. So myself and other of our coaches play for the Colorado Grey Wolves, also kind of based out of the same practice area. Mm-hmm. And those are, you know, Colorado Grey Wolves, that's a high-level team. And I think it's really great for our, you know, all of our players to see players and coaches in high-level roles. Mm-hmm. And I just want to build that community there and that bridge.
It's good to, like, see, you know, for young girls and boys to see, like, there is other things to do, right? There's something to work for. There's, you can play this game forever, and it's good to have coaches that, you know, embody that, right? Mm-hmm. That's an important thing to happen.
Definitely.
Why is it good for kids to play rugby? And, like, what advice would you give to, you know, maybe, like, a parent that's listening to this or something? Maybe they're a little apprehensive about letting their kid play rugby. Like, why would you encourage kids to play rugby?
That's a common question, especially with rugby being a very, you know, full contact sport. My answer to that is the confidence building. It's really, I mean, I feel it personally. When I started rugby, I really grew into myself through rugby. Mm-hmm. In a lot of ways. The main way being learning a team sport, like learning to be a team player, but also realizing that kind of every player has something that they're good at, especially in rugby. And I think that's really important as a kid to realize, like, maybe I'm not as fast as that kid over there, but I'm really strong. Like, I can do this. And every player has an important role on the team. And for me, that's the biggest thing is kids getting skills that translate over to other parts of life, decision making, and just that confidence to know that they can, that they can do anything.
That's good. And I know I like parts of your answer in there, like, because it is truly for everyone. I know people say that a lot, but rugby really is for everybody. And what makes it different is, like, you can, you know, maybe if a young boy wants to play football, right? Like, there's positions fit to that person's body type, but you only get to do, like, one thing. You have to specialize in, like, blocking or whatever. Like, this, you're right. Okay, maybe a kid is more built like a prop, but that prop still gets to run and score and pass and tackle. Like, you still get to do everything else. You maybe just, you do it a little differently, like you said. Maybe you're not the fastest or the strongest, but you can pass the best, and you set up the next person to score, mm-hmm. you know, better than anyone else on the team. And I think that is, it's just like a different way. Rugby is a different way to show kids that, you know, there is something for everybody, and your skills are applicable and they matter, like, in this sport, and, you know, maybe in ways in other sports that don't showcase that the best. Like, there's some of that in basketball, you know, everybody can score, but maybe you don't like being, you know, a center and being in one spot all the time, but you want to do a little bit of everything. So I think that's cool, and I'm glad that you touched on that. Andy, another question I like to ask everybody, you know, especially rugby people, is if you have a favorite rugby memory. And I like asking this because it's different for everybody too, especially now you've played, you know, through high school, college, and now with the Grey Wolves, and now you're into coaching a little bit. So do you have, like, a favorite rugby memory? And you can have a couple, that's okay too.
I do. I don't tend to have strong, super strong rugby memories. I kind of sometimes, like, black out a little bit during games, which, you know, I just remember that I felt good about it. But I do have a specific memory, actually, from my senior year of high school. Like I said, wasn't super athletic, was kind of just there to be there because I was having fun. I it didn't really feel like I was doing a whole lot on the field, but you know, my teammates made me feel good. But I remember this, I think it was my last game of my senior year of high school. And, we were playing against the Sugar Skulls and they, good I name. Had quite a, I know, right. I had quite a few friends on that team. Cause like I said, rugby is, you know, you just know everybody, you're friends with the other team. And I scored my first try, ever in playing since I had joined the team. So it'd been like probably 3.5 years and I scored my first try and everyone on the pitch knew, you know, like they knew it was my first try and my teammates and the opposing team, the Sugar Skulls, kind of just all like, you know, they were cheering and like huge group hug in the try zone. And I'll never forget it because it was...
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That's a good story. I like that. I like asking that one because, again, it's different for everybody.
Yeah.
That's a good story. So any last question I'll ask you before I let you go? I really appreciate your time. Really enjoy the conversation. Say people want to get involved. Say people want to, you know, help out with coaching or they want to sign their kid up. How they do that?
Easiest way to reach me is email. My email's ahammon@glendale.co.us. You can find it on the youth website, so glendaleyouthrugby.com. Just reach out. I'm happy to talk on the phone if anyone has questions. There are a few easy programs to join, like shorter programs. We've got our winter indoor program coming up, and that's every Saturday of February. Mm-hmm. It's a great one to join, especially if you've never played, because it's mainly, there's no contact. You're mainly working on skill work, just trying to stay sharp in the winter. So that's a great place to start. And if anyone has questions, I'm always happy to talk rugby.
Perfect. And then can you kind of take us, sorry, one more before I let you go. Can you just kind of take us through the timeline? So I know you have the winter and then what do you have in the spring, summer, and into the fall?
So our spring is pretty packed. So winter indoor, and then we've got a spring after school program for ages 5 to 14, that rolls into our spring tri league. So that's practices on Mondays and Wednesdays. And then when the tri games start on Saturdays, I believe May 20th, our teams are playing other teams around the Denver area. And then also in the spring, we've got our high school 15s girls select side going. So I'm really excited for that because that program was kind of cut short because of the pandemic.
Yeah, I know. I feel like they've had some weird, like they played a couple matches and they just haven't had to get all their work in, which sucks.
Yeah, definitely. So I have big goals for that program this year because I'd like specifically the high school girls in Colorado to be able to play 15s because we've got some really awesome boys 15s programs, but not so much girls. And it is really important to, you know, a lot of colleges these days are looking for players who have 15s knowledge. So excited for that. And then in the summer, we've got our high school girls camp and then our summer flag and our fall tri league.
Perfect.
Yeah.
It's a full calendar. So, you know, that's good. If you're playing another sport or something, there's a window for you, right? There's time to play rugby. So,
yes.
Andy, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. Really enjoyed talking to you. Looking forward to seeing what you do with the program.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Glendale Youth Rugby Coordinator Andy Hammond. I really appreciate her taking the time out of her day to come chat with me. And if you're interested, make sure you go to glendaleyouthrugby.com, visit Glendale Youth Rugby social media channels. See if there's a program coming up. If you know somebody that wants to get involved in rugby here in the Glendale, Denver, greater Denver metro area, I guess we'll say. So thanks to Andy for coming on and chatting with me. Let's go ahead and move into the required reading portion of the show. Required reading is brought to you by Gilbert Rugby. Gilbert is the official rugby equipment supplier of the American Raptors. Visit worldrugbyshop.com to grab all of your Gilbert Rugby gear. So this piece is titled USA Legend Todd Clever. We got outpassioned, and that was really hard to see. This was a piece in Rugby Pass Plus that came out yesterday. I'm sure you saw it making the rounds, but it's like the title implies it's USA Rugby legend Todd Clever talking about the disappointment that he has with the USA not making the Rugby World Cup, and it's kind of refreshing to see because that's how I feel like everybody feels. So to hear it come from somebody like Todd, who is an influential person in USA Rugby, is kind of nice from a fan perspective, I would imagine. And I would recommend you check it out, because that's kind of like the general feeling, right? That's how everybody's feeling. So I'd recommend go checking that out, see what Todd had to say about all that. I will, of course, link the article in the article that houses the podcast as well in the description of this podcast. So if you're looking for it, you can scroll down in the description. Just click. It's right there. Make it nice and easy for you. That does it for required reading. Let's move into the stat of the week. Stat of the week is presented by Catapult. Catapult's committed to making performance technology available to athletes at all levels, whether it's the biggest teams and organizations in world sport or amateur rugby players. Catapult helps monitor performance like the pros. For more information, visit catapultsports.com. So, picking up on my trends as I've kind of been doing these last couple of months, talking stat of the week, we're talking about Christmas. We're talking about holidays. We're talking about Christmas shopping. So I picked out a couple of key stats I found on a website, and this list is titled Key 2022 American Christmas Spending Stats. So Americans spend approximately $1,000 on Christmas gifts each year. I think that sounds about right, according to my bank account. I'm not even done yet. You're listening to this on December 15th. I got to hit the shopping hard this weekend because I'm running out of time, but I didn't have any money at the beginning of December. So I gotta get to work once I get paid tomorrow. When you're listening to this show, I'll be Christmas shopping my fingers to the bone. Next stat, 65% of U.S. holiday budgets are assigned to gift purchases. Again, I believe that too. That seems a little low to me, honestly. U.S. holiday sales have grown year over year for over a decade. I'm not surprised by that either. People keep spending more money and stuff keeps costing more money. 90% of Americans buy gifts for their families. I wonder what the other 4% people do. I'm sure there are on here. My family, we talked about not buying gifts this year and going on a trip. Didn't work out. Wish that was the case because I got to buy a lot of gifts now. Americans spend well over $200 a year on non-gift items, so I would imagine that's like food and beer and decorations maybe, which I think is probably right also. Canadians spend roughly twice as much as Americans during the holidays, so that's interesting to me. American Christmas seems to be a big deal, so I'm surprised Canada takes a cake. On average, men spent 10% more than women on holiday purchases. That's interesting to me as well. Not sure why that's the case. The highest spending Americans over the winter holidays are age 45 to 54. That makes sense. That's right in that parent age when you're trying to make Christmas really special for your kids. Not surprising to me there. The Northeast outspends the South by around $100 per person each year. That's interesting to me too. Maybe it's because it doesn't really feel like Christmas in the South. Maybe. I don't know. Gift cards are the most popular present to receive. I'm very pro gift card. If you're going to choose between buying me a gift card and something I probably won't use, I'll take the gift card because I will use it. 43% of Americans begin Christmas shopping before the end of October. That seems way too early. But I guess my fiance's family, they get after it pretty quick. They're ready to go. I think they have most of their shopping done by Black Friday usually. But before the end of October, that seems really early. More than 57% of Americans shop online during the holidays. That seems way low. I feel like that should be up around 80 or 90. That's what I've done this far. It's going to be some brick and mortar actually visiting some stores for me this weekend. So wish me luck. That's some Christmas stats for you presented by Catapult. Hopefully you enjoyed all those. We'll go ahead and close the show with the Loop. Loop's presented by First Bank. First Bank's the official banking partner of Infinity Park. They believe in banking for good, doing their best to do right by their customers, communities, and employees. Banking for good, member FDIC. Please follow along on Twitter at @DNVR_rugby, at Colton Strickler. I don't think we're going to hit my 1,000 follower mark by New Year's, but we're going to try. And it's been growing ever so slowly and slightly. And I appreciate everybody that does follow along. And I appreciate you for listening to the show. So I hope you enjoyed it. I got a couple more story ideas working. And again, once this news drops, I'll have more content coming out. There'll be plenty to talk about. It'll be awesome. I'm excited for it. But we got to get there first. So that does it for the show. Thanks so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you had a great week. Hope you have a great weekend. Get your Christmas shopping done like me. Catch you all back here next week.